We thank Allah that it's the one Lord created us all for our life and for this day here in the city of Oakland, California, hosted by your community here and witnessing the evening of elegance with you and seeing the promise of a better future for us. Last night, while we were looking into the faces of those bright, courageous, high-spirited youngsters of the Prayer Muhammad School. Yes. We're very much encouraged to have faith that our future is going to be in good hands. I saw leaders among those children. Real leaders. Praise to Allah. So this is wonderful. So we thank Allah for this day here. And we wish our Christian friends, brothers and sisters, a happy and good Easter. This is Easter day for them, and a beautiful day here in Oakland. Just the kind of day they like to have, and just the kind of day I like for them to have, because I like to see them in those beautiful Easter outfits, those beautiful hats. They don't do it like they used to. Yeah. But it's beautiful. We ask Allah always for the success of our efforts. We know we cannot have success unless God approves of our works. And also, we pray for Allah's love. The Muslims pray when they make pilgrimage to Mecca. Many, many prayers for their families, loved ones, friends, for the Muslims, for the Muslim communities, and for mankind. And Muslims pray for Allah's love. That's something that this community should become aware of. Muslims pray for Allah's love. I quote you a prayer. I give you a quiet prayer now. I share with you, in fact, it's a little dua that I, a prayer that I read before coming out here today, and I want to share it with you here because I want to say it again here as I begin this presentation. It reads, O God, I ask you for your love and the love of those who love you, and for the love of every action which will bring me closer to you. Ameen, or amen. We have the topic today, and maybe I should give it before responding to it or addressing it. It is, I believe, within the theme for this 15th annual celebration of excellence, celebrating academic excellence. The Quran, the last of the revealed books, the holy book of Muslims throughout the world, gives us a picture of the resurrection of the dead, of the resurrection when we individually die. And the picture that is given is a picture of a town. And God says, giving us a parable, a picture of our own resurrection. God says, observe a town that has collapse, or that had become dilapidated. That was your expression. Dilapidated. With its roof falling, caving in. And then that town restored, and its life is back. It is built up again. And God says, similarly is the resurrection of the dead. Similarly is the resurrection of the dead. Now, we believe as Muslims that Allah wants us first to have a personal relationship with Him. Allah didn't want us coming through the mayor of the city to get to Him. Allah didn't want us coming through a holy man to get to Him, the priest. Allah wants us to come directly to Him individually. And this is another thing that I want this community to understand. Many of you, you used to be Christians. And if you weren't Christians, you came from Christian background, came from Christian families. And for Christians, there is personal relationship with God. And I'm sure you know that. Understand, for Muslims also, there's a personal relationship with God. So don't come to hear Imam David Dean Muhammad so that you will have closeness with Allah. To have closeness with Allah, you talk to Allah while I'm gone and even while I'm here. To have closeness with Allah. This is a Muslim religion, Islam. It is a religion that wants us to have personal relationship with our God, our Creator, our Lord Creator. And Allah says that to the Prophet Muhammad, if my worshiper asks you about me, tell them I am near. Tell them I am near. Very close. Always near, never far away. God is always near, never far away. And Allah says, not directly, but through Muhammad the Prophet, He inspired him with this saying. For my servant, or for any human person who has done a wrong, treated unfairly, deprived of his rights, needing someone to come and answer the need for justice in the situation. God says, for such person, there is never so much as a thin curtain separating that person from God. I thought we should be told that. So we be miserable, you know, sometimes. We are miserable. And we think we don't have any help. No one cares. Oh, no one will come and give us justice. No one will come and deliver us and save us from this problem or this situation. I'm going to be mistreated for all of my life, and my children will be mistreated too. It's not going to change. A person talking like that doesn't have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, then you will believe that if there's no one to turn to, there's always God to turn to. That's what made it possible for our forefathers and mothers in slavery to keep their human nature, to keep their human character through a time of great suffering and great cruelty to their human nature. They survived with their human nature, a treatment that was designed to take away from them their human nature. They survived because they believed that God exists, and that God is a loving God, and that God created them as He created everybody else, and that in time that God would change those bad circumstances for them. So they believe. Many of them died and didn't see the good day come, but they believed. Now we, their children, we are here. We have lived to see the good day come. Shouldn't we believe any even more? Yes? Instead of playing and indulging foolishness, indulging self-destruction, we should be believing even more than our forebears believed, because we have seen the change come. We have seen relief come, and the ugly, bad condition of slavery removed. So we should be stronger believers today than our fathers were in slavery. Doesn't that make good sense? Sometimes all we have to do is just think about it, see the situation clearly, and then we can come into the life that we should be in. We can come into the good life that we should be in. So I'm sharing this with you because I have reflected. I have remembered. And I have come to that conclusion that we today should be stronger believers in God than our parents were during the time of slavery. We held on to the belief that there's a God, that there's a liberator, that God is a liberator, and one day we will be free. And it came, and we should be celebrating that victory in their names, in the names of those who believed that this day would come, and they suffered, died in that horrible state, but with the belief that this day was coming. Praise be to Allah. Now to continue this, well, address, we want to look now at really the birth of a child. The birth of a child. The mother or the new wife, when she learns that she's pregnant, she starts then to think of how her life is going to be changed. She can't live the same way anymore. I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby. So now I have to think about my life as a mother. So she begins to think of her life as a mother. And she wants to know that there is going to be support for this baby when this baby is delivered. While the baby is being carried by her, she only has to worry about support for herself in the interest of her baby. Support for herself in the interest of her baby. So if she's told by the medical field that drinking beer smoking reefers is going to hurt that baby's development while it's being developed in her body, the good mother is going to say, no more beer for me. I have to look out for my baby. Now, the way the world has been made, she knows she needs help to take care of this baby. So she looked at the same fella she used to look at with nothing but romance on her mind. But now she's looking at him with a little more than romance on her mind. She's looking at him and sizing him up to see if he is going to help her take care of this baby when this baby comes. If he is the kind of fella that believes in being true,
that he wants to convince her right away that you don't have anything to worry about, girl. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to provide for you and the baby. He'll let her know right away. I like this Arab attitude that says, if you got something first, go right to the point. Don't make it a long, drawn-out story. Get right to the point, and then give me the other stuff. So the Arabs don't want you to say, yeah, I heard you didn't have your rent. Now, you know, I met you about a year ago. And tell that story. And I thought about you and your situation. That makes the Arab very angry. When you get to the point, he might say, keep you. He wants you right away to say, I have the money you need for your rent. Then tell him, you know, I met you a year ago. Better wife for you, and the two of you are going to have a better future for your baby, most likely. Because if you receive her right away, of the birds of not knowing how she's going to have the support for her baby, and your baby too. Yes. So then, the young man, he has to go out. He can't stay at home. If you're so much in love that you can't leave her and go outside, you might as well become a homosexual.
Ain't much gonna be produced. I'm in a good place to say homosexual. Now, he has to prepare for the new life, too. She's preparing for the new life by taking better care of her health. Her health, her spirit, her mind. Because whatever is happening in her is going to, in some measure, affect or influence the life she's carrying. He has to now look outside. He has to go outside. I got to go out and get me a job. If he hasn't got one, I got to go out and get me a job. So here is life, new life being born. And new life is assigning dispositions to the woman and disposition to the man, to the male. Disposition to the female, disposition to the male. She has to be dispositioned to take care of herself and her immediate environment. Her room, her bedroom, her kitchen, her etc. So her child will be born in a healthy place. And he has to go out in the broad community, in the open field, and seek to bring back from outside that will support the beginning new community, family, inside the house. He has to go outside. So here, life itself urges us to establish
the home life very strong and healthy, and the male go out. Those that are not burdened by the new life, by the obligation to contend and care for the new life on a regular basis, on a regular timetable, go out and work in the field. So here are the two people who were attracted to each other are now having their life broadened, expanded, their vision, their interest goes outside of themselves, goes outside of their immediate environment. Now they are connected with a distant environment, connected with a distant environment where he has to seek the means, the support for the new life and the new family unit that's going to be growing. So here, life itself takes the individual, makes him with his mate, and then pushes the interest outside and require that the establishment be in the open community, the outer community, the public domain. He has to get a job there. If he gets a job there and he does an honorable job, he works in an honorable way, the public eyes will see him, and he'll get a name in the public for being industrious, for being a good character, for being industrious, and for being a good character. And his work, most likely, will also be a contribution to the public domain. If he's a businessman operating a good business, his business is a contribution to the neighborhood, to the public domain. Perhaps somebody will be employed from the public domain, and he will be contributing to stability, the social stability of the public domain. Because here is a person, a woman, a man, a senior citizen, a youngster, a teenager, didn't have a job. Now he has worked in the interest of his home, his wife. It's worked in the interest of his baby that's coming. And he has created a business that needs more hands. And now he's contributing to the stability, social stability of not only his own house, but to the social stability in the public domain. See how wonderful God has designed life? So life begins with individual interest and attention to personal needs. But if it wants to continue, it has to extend this interest out into the public domain and have it also established or based in the public waters. So here life reaches out as a banyan tree, I think they call that tree in Africa. It's a tree, big tree, and it extends itself. The branch grows out and drops down a vine-like thing. And the vine-like thing touches the ground and forms roots. And the roots go in the ground, and the thing becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes big and strong like a tree trunk. So it's like a tree extending itself to become another tree, another tree, and another tree from one tree. So this seems to be the way Allah, God the Creator, wants our interest to grow. Establish here, but reach out by necessity, or reach out of necessity, reach out and take root out there, and stop and grow up strong out there, for my need, but also for the public destiny, for the public destiny. God says that you are the best community. Community. God didn't say you're the best soul. God didn't say you're the best person. God didn't say you're the best people. God said you are the best community developed or evolved for the good of all people. Isn't that wonderful? So the topic that we have chosen is a topic that says We should have a sense of community in Islam. And this sense of community positions us for personal well-being and progress. Personal well-being and progress. We can have all the ideas, all the vision possible for a human being. But until we look outside at the world, we call the public domain, and decide on doing something out there to realize the vision, to realize the dreams, we can't get anywhere. We must take our attention off the private interest and put it into the public interest in order to further our own private interest. So God is giving us the best advice, the best direction, when God is telling us to take the position that you are created by God to be a community. God didn't create us to live on islands separated from each other. God created us to have land and opportunity to plan and work together and organize our life and establish it to the satisfaction of our souls. So that we live in our world that we made with our own hands, our soul rejoices. Many times, just an organ will rejoice. Not even the whole body. Just one organ might rejoice. Not the whole body. The eye, I like what I see. The nose, I like what I smell. The ears, I like what I hear. The flesh, I like what I'm feeling. But when the soul says, everything is mellow, you have done your job. Yeah, you have done your job. So Allah wants us to prepare a comfortable home for our soul. Not only tonight when we go to bed, but Allah wants that soul to be pleased when we go out from the home to work. And when we leave the home to work, to come back home, or we leave the work to go to a meeting place, or we leave the work or the home to go to a place of entertainment, or to play a game of ball. Whatever we are doing at home or in the world, God wants the soul to be pleased. And as long as the soul is not pleased, then that tells us that we have not yet finished the job. We have not finished the job yet. Progress, well-being and progress. We have to establish the private interest in the public domain in order for us to have continual well-being and have progress. God says, see how he has benefited you from the skies and from the earth. See how he has benefited you from the skies and from the earth. We need to reflect on these things. We need to give a little thought to it. What kind of day could we have today if the sun wasn't shining up in the heavens? What would happen to the land if the clouds didn't drop rain occasionally? So God is helping us from up there and down here. We eat from the table of the earth, but the table is being prepared from upstairs and downstairs. Blessings are coming down and coming up. Right? Yes. Blessings are coming down and coming up. That's the way we should look at our life at home. Those that are standing tall over the little short ones that were just born a few years ago, blessings ought to be coming down. And we ought to be looking at blessings coming up. Huh? Oh, buddy, I'm ready to float on air. Allah wants us to prepare pace for the soul so that the whole life can have a virtual paradise while we are on this physical planet. In Islam, Allah wants us to do everything we can to put ourselves in heaven while we live. Yes. Allah wants us to know that heaven begins here.
Yes.
From the moment you become conscious,
right.
Heaven begins.
Right.
At least the opportunity to earn heaven begins.
Yes.
From the moment we become conscious. And also hell begins at the same time.
Yes.
And depending upon how you conduct yourself, one of them will become full blossom for you. To have this life, we have to have an appreciation for the work that God did. Now, isn't that how revelation comes? Revelation comes to bring to man the perception, the view, the picture of God and what God did. In Islam, it's the same. See how God has created the skies in a balance, in an order, in a special design. He has made all that those things you see in the sky, given a special design to them. See how they go orderly in their disciplines that God created for them. Then God said, now look at the earth. See, before you made your maps, man, see how God made it possible for you to travel from one place to another? Put rivers and connected them, and put bodies of water and made it possible for you to use trees to make us boats and sail from one place to another. So see how he made the stars up in the sky to help you in your travel? When you don't know which way is east and west, you can look to a star, and the star will help you find a direction. See how God has made all of this thing in an orderly and sensible way for you? So think, man, and think with good sense, and order your life, and conform to the best disciplines. Eh? This is what God wants to do. So God tells us about his work, so we will know better how to begin our work. God wants us to study his work so we'll know better how to plan our work. This is how the world became great. This is how civilization evolved. It was because of the free thinkers. Thinkers who looked at the objective reality and took lessons from it and studied it and compiled the knowledge, arranged the knowledge, ordered the knowledge so that others will learn after them and be able to further the movement into the promised land, the good life that God created us for, on earth and after. Community life requires work in the public domain, establishment in the public domain. Community life requires the development of knowledge, the development of institutions of learning. This is what Allah wants for us. We can no more look to others outside of us to have a future on earth. When Allah calls you to Islam, He calls you to accept responsibility for carrying that burden yourself. You should have leaders among you who have accepted responsibility for planning the future for us today and for our children to come generation after generation. God didn't give this to one certain race to shoulder the responsibility for man's existence now and in the future on this planet. That responsibility now must be accepted by a black man. Because now a black man has been called again to accept his God and accept the life his God has planned for him. And God has planned for you a life of responsibility at home and in the public quarters. God says, you are a community people. a community people. And the responsibility for your community is in the hands of every mature, sane individual that belongs to your religion and lives in your circumstances. We're African-American people, we live in the same circumstances. We are Muslim African-American people, we live in the same circumstances. We must be responsible then for our circumstances. So how we are faring in the neighborhood is not just the city's job. It's not just the mayor's job. It's not just the governor's job. It's not just the president's job. It's not just the White House job or the federal government's job. How we are faring in the neighborhood now is firstly and more importantly our job and our responsibility. Now, if you measure up to that responsibility, if you would just get the moral courage and the human strength, you heard it? God made every human being with the human strength to stand up and accept this responsibility. You may can't do it, you may can't lead it, you may can't head up the effort, but we have some of us that can. You can support the effort. You supported the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not all of you, you know who I'm talking to. You supported the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, let's build a nation. You supported it. His men said, let's give the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a jet of his own to fly around in. You supported it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, let's buy 1,000 acres of farmland in Alabama and Georgia and Michigan. You did it.
That's right.
A law has created us for spiritual establishment. Spiritual establishment. That's why God says to us, see how he supports you from the skies and from the earth. From the skies is to direct our thinking, our thoughts to the spiritual life and the spiritual establishment. We don't control the sun. We don't control the clouds. All of that is in God's control. Even the weather man can't control it. That's why he makes so many mistakes. We can't control up there. But we know that life is supported from up there and from down here. So up there, it gives us a little more reason to believe in something bigger than us. So here I am being helped by something I can't manage. I don't control it. So I should believe in something bigger than me. Isn't it wonderful? I feel like Dr. Shuler almost right now. You know Robert Shuler, the gas cathedral. Beautiful man. I watched his Hour of Power this morning. So don't tell him he gave me a little bit of inspiration for this address. Praise be to Allah. So Allah wants us to have the spiritual establishment, but to realize that the spiritual establishment is only our true identity. It's our true picture. It's our true life form, the spiritual establishment. But the job, the vocation, is building the community. So once you have the spiritual establishment, then the spiritual establishment is only taqwa. You Muslims know taqwa, huh? Taqwa, which means regardfulness, respect in you, a consciousness that Allah wants you to have, your Creator wants you to have. Once you have that, then the next thing you have to do is give that its garden of paradise. God made the soul, the individual, complete and beautiful and perfect, and then he put him in the garden. Oh, where's your garden, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy, man, let's go out and cultivate.
Yeah, right.
We have to have a garden.
Right.
We have to have this spiritual life in a paradise,
right.
As much as we possibly can realize on this earth.
Yeah.
How are we in this material body?
Right.
And it's not the responsibility of a white man.
Come on.
God didn't make me with a black body and a white head. Allahu Akbar. Industry. God wants us to be industrious. God wants us to have industry. God said he made the man from dust. Woo. Made man from dust. Let's think about dust. Dust settles on things neglected for a long time. If you're not busy in here moving about and everything, dust going to accumulate. If you don't use the table, dust going to accumulate. Right? And where that dust comes from? Out of the air. Dust comes from out of the air and settle on your things. So here is material, pure material. Pure material. It has been broken down so fine that it actually can ride on the air. God made man from dust.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is that that enables me to ride on the air? Makes me so light, I don't need a material base to support me. It's the belief that God created me from nothing. From nothing.
Yes.
It's the belief that I was nothing and God created me from nothing. Well, prove it, mister. What material base, what concrete are you standing upon when you're saying that? I'm riding the air when I'm saying that. My material composition is right in the air. Carried by the air. Carried by the wind. So you'll never have a life on this earth. I believe I will. Because if this dust can settle, and if water can come to it, I will have life again. So all we need to do is find the material base. But don't give up the faith. Find the material base and let sensitivities become good and real and human. Let us have love and compassion. Let us care about each other and the rain will fall and wet the dust. And a life germ will come forth and it'll be the beginning of a new garden. Then when the things are harvested, let us think about the community interest and not just about our private interest.
Yes,
let us take zakat from the harvest,
yes,
so that we'll have better schools.
Yes,
zakat from the harvest so that we'll have welfare without asking the White House for it.
Right.
Huh?
Yes,
so that we'll be able to take care of the widows, as God said. Take care of the widows.
Right.
Don't neglect your obligation to the orphans.
Right.
Pull the man off the streets that is homeless.
Yes.
Don't have him wandering out there from town to town and no place to stay. God said the obligation is on the Muslim community. Huh?
Yes,
take care of the wayfarer,
right,
the child on the road.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Take care of the injured. That's what God said.
Yes, right.
God didn't say ask the federal government to do these things for us. God says, and take care of the person who was rich yesterday. But he's suffered a great catastrophe. He suffered a great misfortune. And now he's poor. And his wife used to have dignity. You come to his aid as a community. Come to his aid and give that man a home for himself and his wife. Give him some material support so he won't be so miserable. After.